from 1 Timothy and chapter 6, reading from verse 11. And I'll just point out right now that these words originally, of course, were written for Timothy. They were originally written for a man. And so it says, "But you, man of God." But this is not just for the men. This is the living words that comes for all of us as we continue to reflect on character. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6, reading from verse 11. "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be the honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. Amen." So in these last weeks, we've been reflecting on the theme of character and character first, recognizing that the call of God upon our lives is first of all to be of good character, to be transformed by God. And often we get ahead of ourselves and we want to do so much, and yet God calls us to be of good character, to have lives out of which good actions come. And so that's been our reflection in these last few weeks. And the verse that we've had at the head of our screen every week from Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Let's say it together. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And here, of course, the Apostle Paul is reflecting, what does the life of God look like in an individual? If somebody is plugged into God, is seeking to follow Jesus, and every day is working out, what on earth does it mean for me to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus? And the Apostle Paul is reflecting on this, and he's just written down or dictated to his scribe, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the one who lives by the Spirit of God, is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we have reflected, I'll just quickly whiz through these. We've reflected that fruit takes time. We cannot just do one thing and that's it. We're sorted. You know, we're of good character. It takes a lifetime, day after day after day after day. Just as we see, fruit doesn't just appear on trees, but it takes time and time and time and time. So fruit takes time. Now, a very practical thing I've encouraged you to do is to think and reflect and meditate on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We do this by reading the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. If you've never done that, if you've never read through, then I encourage you to do it. Many of you may be in the habit of reading books, and I hope you are in the habit of reading books. My encouragement one day is put aside the novel or whatever book it is you're reading, put that to one side and pick up your Bible and just read through the whole of a gospel. You think you could do that? Yeah. It's not as challenging as you think. You know, you get through and you think, crikey, it's not as long as you think, but it's full of goodness. And so I do encourage you still to do that. And then seek to reflect the character of Jesus. As we read the Gospels, we come across the character of Jesus displayed in so many different contexts. And the encouragement to us is to identify that and say, okay, can I reflect that characteristic of Jesus in my own life? And we've encouraged each other with that. We've encouraged one another to live the change, to be and to do that which we want to be and do. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait, you know, well, I'll do it when, you know, when God answers this prayer, when this happens, then I will start to live in a new way. Don't wait. Just live it now. And that in itself is transformative. Last week, we looked at three marks of a disciple that, do you remember looking up, looking inward and looking out? Looking up to God, loving God with our heart, mind, soul and strength. Looking in to ourselves, because if we're going to look out and love our neighbour, we must learn how to love ourselves and be honest with ourselves. And then we can love our neighbours. And then today, talking about developing character. And we have this passage in front of us today, thinking about developing character. Now, put this picture up. Active. Does this reflect any of you this last week? No? Okay. It might do. You're just being humble about it or something. But I wanted to put up a picture that spoke of activity. And there are lots of different pictures I could have put up. But when we read this passage, this charge given by the Apostle Paul to that young man, Timothy, it is full of activity. It is full of activity. It is full of do this, turn from this, and so on. It is not, developing character is not something we just sit still and it happens to us. It is about being active. It is about engaging with the challenge and saying, I am going to be transformed. I do love God and I want this to be reflected in my life. So today, let's just put all these up. What do we have in this passage? We have all these encouragements. We have flee. Very strong. Flee. We have pursue. We have fight. We have take hold. We have confess. All of these different things, they're all active. It's about fleeing, pursuing, fighting, taking hold and confessing. And we begin, of course, with fleeing. And there are at least four different things in this passage that we're encouraged to flee from. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think you can flee by standing still. Yeah? You know, this word flee is just so full of action and being active. I can't just stay where I am. And you will have noted this passage actually begins, but you, man of God. That's how it begins, but you. And it's very easy for us to say, but do you know what? This is what everybody else is like. This is the norm in the church. This is the norm in the world. And I think Timothy may have been tempted by that to say, well, this is what everybody else is like. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, okay, here's the deal. But you, Timothy, mustn't be like this. But you, Timothy, mustn't be normal. You must be, dare I say it, abnormal. You must step away from what is normal and considered normal for everybody else. And you must flee. What must you flee from? Well, I've put it there. In verse 4, we have these needless quarrels. In verse 3, it begins, if anyone teaches false doctrines, doesn't agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is considered conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction, and so on. So it's these needless quarrels. Timothy, don't have anything to do with these things. Flee from them. Put energy into this. Flee. If anybody is like this, just get away from them and have nothing to do with them. And then divisive talk, I've put them, this constant friction between men of corrupt minds. How easy it is sometimes to slip into talk that divides, isn't it? And it's easy. It's easy to do. And sometimes you're hardly aware you're doing it. And then the damage is done. But he says, no. If you're going to be different, Timothy, if you're going to be a man of good character, you're going to really have to work hard at this. Flee. Flee. Put energy into this fleeing. Divisive talk. Don't have anything to do with talk that divides people. And then love of money in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And love of money is not just seen in those who have money. It may be easy, we may turn to those and go, oh, you've obviously, you know, you've succumbed to this temptation, love of money, because you have lots of money. You have a big house and great cars, or whatever it is. Have you ever wondered that those without much can also succumb to this temptation? And their life can be driven by, I want money. If only I had what he has, what she has. If only. That's the love of money driving us. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, as he would say to us, but you're going to have nothing to do with this. Love of money. Put it away. God will look after you. Godless chatter in verse 20. Turn away from godless chatter. Have nothing to do with it. And this is full of energy, full of activity, full of action. If we're to be of good character, it won't just happen. It won't just fall on your lap. It will only happen if we grab a hold of it. And we say, do you know what? I'm going to live for this. This is going to make a difference in my life. Do you remember what the second one was? The first one's flee. Second one, pursue. Okay, pursue. Let me throw these up. Okay, you must pursue. This is all, I think, in verse 11. But you, man of God, don't be like everybody else. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness. That is God's way. Pursue the life of God. Pursue the life that God leads, that we see in the Lord Jesus. Pursue godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. So I've put down God's way, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Now, we might think these sound a little bit like the fruit of the Spirit, don't they? Character traits. And we might think, I've mentioned, I look out at the trees in my garden and they don't seem to be doing much. I've never observed it myself, except on, you know, speeded up films. Have you ever seen these speeded up films where you can watch you know, just a branch and then a bud and then the bud and the blossom and then eventually the small fruit. And it all happens within a minute or so, and it's speeded up film. And it doesn't look like much is happening. But in fact, that tree is working hard for that fruit to be developed. And the fruit of the Spirit, they happen because we're engaged in the life of God, because we're plugged in to what the Spirit is doing. And so the Apostle Paul says, okay, there's a whole load of stuff you've got to flee from. You've got to say, I know it's normal. I know it's just completely accepted around me, but I'm going to flee. I'm going to have nothing to do with it. But I am going to pursue righteousness. I'm going to pursue God's way. And I'm going to help others to do it. So these active words, these commands, flee and then pursue. And then in verse 12, we have fight. Fight. Verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. I know what you'll say. Christians shouldn't fight, should they? Should they? Don't think so. You know? Yeah, fight the good fight. What is? See, the Apostle Paul doesn't just say fight, but says fight the good fight. Fight the fight of goodness. The Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 7, you have this, I think it's an extraordinary paragraph. Well, the Apostle Paul, who we regard as the foremost of Christian thinkers, possibly ever, and in terms of somebody who loved God and followed Jesus, absolutely, you know, we kind of have a very high view of the Apostle Paul. Yet in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul says, do you know what the truth is about me? I want to do good, but in the next breath I end up doing bad. My heart is to follow God, but I find I'm following my own desires. And I'm conflicted about this. And there's a battle going on within my own heart and soul about this. I want to do one thing, and the very bad I don't want to do, I do. Very good I want to do, I find I can't do. And the Apostle Paul, I think, is saying to Timothy, as he would say to us, Timothy, if you're going to be of good character, you are going to have to fight for it. You will be conflicted within your own heart and soul, and it will be hard. But you will have to fight this good fight. And it is within yourself. You're not going to bring harm to yourself. You're not going to bring harm to anybody else. But you'll bring healing to yourself and healing to others. This is all part of fleeing, pursuing, fighting. Fighting the good fight. And not giving up easily. Not abandoning the struggle easily. So we have flee, pursue, fight. And then the fourth one is to take hold. Take hold in verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of the faith. Faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Take hold of the eternal life. Take hold of it. It's not just accept it, not just rejoice in it, but take hold of it. Grab a hold of it and don't let go. And what is this eternal life? What is this eternal life? And I've used the illustration many times when Jesus spoke to a crowd and tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Just before he tells that story, he speaks. He's asked the question, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So, take a hold of eternal life. What must I do? How do I do that? How do I take a hold of eternal life? And Jesus wonderfully answers the question with a question. If you read the Gospels, how many times Jesus answers a question with a question? What does the Bible say? What does the Scriptures say? Love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus says, do this, and you will live. take a hold of eternal life. It is about taking a hold of love, loving whatever the costs. Take hold. So what have we had? Had flee, pursue, fight, take hold. And what was number five? This is your memory test. Confess. Well done. Yeah. Okay. So the last one is confession. And this is in verse 12 to 16. Because it begins, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. This confession, he apparently made a good confession. The take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This confession may well have been Timothy's baptism. It may well have been that at that point when Timothy confessed before many witnesses, I belong to Jesus. And of course, in the first century, to be baptized in the first century was a dangerous business, because if you confessed loyalty to Jesus, you were saying, I will not be loyal to others. The emperor was regarded as God. Actually, he was the Lord in the first century. The emperor was the Lord. And if you said, no, Jesus is my Lord, you were saying the emperor wasn't. And that would bring all kinds of trouble. I believe many Christians lost their jobs because of that confession. Many Christians lost their families because they confessed Jesus as Lord. It was a challenge to confess Jesus as Lord. And Timothy, he has made this good confession. But the Apostle Paul then speaks about the example of Jesus, saying, Jesus, even before Pontius Pilate, even before the rulers of this world, Pontius Pilate represented the emperor. Pontius Pilate was, as it were, the emperor in Galilee. He was the one who represented the Lord, the God of the day. But we're told that Jesus made his good confession. I will follow God and no one else. And so, Timothy, you must be courageous and you must continue. Keep this confession. Jesus only. Follow the way of Jesus. And that's a challenge. But Paul said, this is about developing character, good character. Flee, pursue, fight, take hold, and confess and hold to your confession. So the example of Jesus is before, and this is very relevant to us and to what we see on the news. You know, I have absolutely no doubt in the next few years there are going to be increasing challenges for those who confess Jesus as Lord. And I mean that in terms of politics. The political world, isn't the political world changing possibly as we haven't seen for years and years and years? And the challenge will be to confess Jesus and to confess the values of Jesus. And this is relevant for us. If we're to be of good character, then we must say, whatever the cost, I will follow the way of Jesus and not the way of the politicians, not the way that is expected of me. And that is a very real challenge for us. And then what the Apostle Paul does, having said Jesus confessed before the coming rulers, Timothy, you must confess before Jesus, because he is the coming king. He is the true king. You see how the Apostle Paul, in just a paragraph, speaks about that. to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see, to him be the honor and might forever. Amen. So Timothy, you must keep this confession. And if it's anything like all the other active words, the flee, pursue, the fight, the take hold, this confession, you're going to have to work at it. It will be active. Not something that will just happen, but you will choose. Day after day, week after week, year after year, you will choose to confess Jesus as your one and only Lord and Saviour. So I feel like I've shot through that really quickly. This is about developing character and the fact that character doesn't just happen to us. Good character doesn't just happen to us. Bad character does. Bad character does just happen to you. Have you ever noticed that? If you don't move forwards, you find you're going backwards. Bad character just happens, but good character doesn't. Good character you must work at. And you must be active, as we all can be. Now, this week, hopefully, we can take a step with 40 Acts, beginning on Wednesday, and we can encourage one another in doing acts of generosity and kindness. And we can connect with one another in this. And we can encourage one another with these words this morning. And I trust that God will multiply for us the blessing. And it'll be worth far more than maybe we expect right now, the blessing that God multiplies for us. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you for all of your goodness. Father, thank you that your love is faithful and true. And we do echo the psalmist. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And Father, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and you would help us to be those who develop good character. And we will do what we can to encourage one another and help one another to develop good character. That we might reflect Jesus in who we are and what we do. In his name we pray. Amen.